You know every circumstance. You know every situation. You know, God, answers that we're searching for. God, I pray that this moment would be life-changing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. God, lead us, guide us, direct us, reveal to us today. God, let this be a supernatural moment. God, I pray that you'd use me in a powerful way as a mouthpiece from heaven to speak truth, your word, to declare your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, any rowdies? Y'all been a little bit too quiet. I'm thinking we're going to have to wake up some rowdy people in here today. Well, go ahead and be seated, and thank you, worship team. Give it up for our worship team. God's doing an absolutely awesome, awesome job. And thank you for those golf claps. You know, it's really wonderful. Amen. Do you appreciate your worship team and what they do and bringing the worship here? And let me just say a couple things just before we jump into the Word. Again, just so good to see you here today. This is kind of crazy. It's getting real. It's the last two services we'll have in this building. And so it's getting really, really real. And when my wife was sharing, you know, so many people are excited. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But I do know this, is that with God, there is sometimes necessary endings so that you can have a necessary beginning. And when Cherie said that there's a new era, and that's what this is all about, we could stay here and be stuck, or we can go where the cloud is moving. I believe there's some things I'm going to share today, and perhaps even next week. Mother's Day is going to be a powerful, powerful service, our last service in this building. It has served its purpose. But God is doing something in this ministry, and we're going to celebrate moms and do all that, but I do believe it's going to be a powerful service next week, and some things that I believe God's put in my heart to even minister, if I do minister, just going to the other side. So I really believe this service today and next weekend is very intentional, and then our opening service at Royce Hall there at Fresno High. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be great. I'm hoping that you're going to go with us. If not, you can stay around here and hug the bushes. But we're going to go have a move of God. Amen. Anybody ready to have a move of God? Amen. Come on, there's souls to be won. People's lives to be changed. We've been doing this a long time in this valley. We've been spread out all throughout this valley. You know, Andrew was saying that he's excited about the location, because if you look at where all of our people come from, they come from all over the place, because we've had many different campuses throughout the valley. And we believe God is beginning to stir again, once again, a strategy to really reach our valley. This Fresno Valley is very spread out. And I just really believe this is God's doing. And I'm excited about stepping out of the boat and walking on some water. Even after 30 years, the best has not been done. Amen. We have not seen our best days. And I believe there is so, so much more. And if we don't step out, amen, we'll just stay in that convenient, comfortable place. Some even know it's easy to stay in the comfortable, convenient place. You know, but to put it all on black, come on, somebody. To put it all on red. To risk it all, right? To say, God, I'll trust you. I'll go where you want me to go. Some of you have never been in a casino, apparently, huh? Necessary endings so that you can have a necessary beginning. So we are excited about that. Don't miss next week. And then again, so we don't have to go over so many things were said. In the weeks that have led up to this, our Vision Sundays, if you did not get the content of the messaging and then some of the practical next steps that we are doing and the upcoming changes, go to our YouTube channel and watch those services, and it'll explain why we're doing what we're doing. It will accelerate. This move will accelerate our promised land. I said it will accelerate the purpose and the cause that God has for us. So we're excited about that. Go and watch those on YouTube. Be a blessing to you. Again, I want to continue in this line today of this is new, just vision Sundays, just casting vision behind some of these big, bold moves that we're making. And I want to read our opening text today, and then we're going to get busy. And anybody going to help me preach today? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, it says this. I read out of the Amplified. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old, or ponder the things of the past. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah here. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Once again, wilderness and desert could be interchanged there. They both mean the same thing in the Hebrew language. Say this with me. This is new. Say it with some boldness. Now say, this is new. Now say it with some volume today. Say, this is new. All right. I believe that what God is doing for us, in us, for us, and through us in this season is new. I'm going to say that again. Very intentional about what I'm going to be sharing today. I believe that in you, this isn't just about this 2 hours on a Sunday. This is about your life. This is about this community of believers. But I believe what God is doing for us and in us and through us in this season is something new. This is new, like we've been ministering, is a vision word from God. I believe that the Lord has given us a word for this specific season. It's not a slogan. It's not some catchphrase. It's not some motto that we're using to try to manipulate people. This is new is what you might declare or say that we see throughout scriptures, a prophetic vision or inspired godly utterance for a specific season. God always would have words or speak through a prophet, a seasonal word to get people through a specific season of their life. In fact, God says as ministers that we would desire a word in season for those that would be listening so that their lives could be radically changed. What you don't need is a sermonette. You need a minister and a leader that has sought God and found a word in season that can shift some things in your life. I do believe with all my heart that this is new is a vision that God is giving us as a people in this season for this community, for you as a person, for your home, for your family, for your career, for your business. This is new. When God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, that word new, let me define that again for you. New means something fresh, something original, something unheard of, something unused, or something just beginning. So when God says, I'm doing something new, he says, I'm doing something that's just beginning. New also means or has to do with the uncommon or the unfamiliar, things that have never existed before. When God says, I'm doing something new, he's saying, I'm doing something that's never existed before. And that makes a whole lot of people really, really nervous, right? Because we like the convenient. We like the comfortable. I think one of the greatest definitions of this word new is this, something that is better than before. When God says, I'm doing something new, what God is saying is I'm doing something that is better than before. Does anybody want something that is better than before? This is new is God's response to all that is God, all that God is doing for us, in us, and through us. I want to again remind you, because I believe God put this in my heart as I was several weeks ago, as I was looking at this word new and what God was meaning when he said, behold, I do a new thing. I believe when God says, I'm doing a new thing, that God is speaking specifically of three specific things as it pertains to the new things. And here they are again, that we are to expect the uncommon. When it comes to new things, this is what I believe our responsibility is. We are to expect the uncommon, which simply means just believe for it. Again, that's not our nature. We don't like anything that's uncommon. But if God's doing a new thing, our part in that is to expect to believe for the uncommon. And then we need to embrace the unfamiliar, which simply means we need to yield to it. Why? So that we will encounter the unimaginable. The Bible says that God has things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, things that he has prepared for us. You have not seen them. You have not heard of them. How many of you would like to experience some of the things that God has prepared? Well, we're going to have to expect the uncommon then when it comes to the new thing. We're going to have to embrace the unfamiliar, so that we can encounter the unimaginable. Now, just in a quick review, when God talks about new things, God tells us how we will know that the new thing is a God thing, because he says it's a road in the wilderness and it's rivers in the desert. So in other words, when God says, I'm doing a new thing, he defines what the new thing looks like. We just read it in our opening verse, our opening text. He said, the new thing looks like a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So in other words, it'll look like a road in the last place that you would ever expect a road. A road in the wilderness, if you see a road in the wilderness, that is absolutely a new thing, because a road does not belong in the wilderness. The very definition of wilderness is a pathless place. So God says, here's how you're going to detect that I'm doing a new thing. It's going to be a road where there shouldn't be a road, right? And then I'm going to put a river in the last place that you would ever expect a river. Now, a road is a way out. A road, if you run into a road, that means direction. A road is what gives you access. It gives you freedom. It opens up new possibilities and new opportunities. Now listen to this. Not only is a road a way out, but a road is also a way into. Oh, he's not just bringing you out. I said he's not just bringing you out. God is bringing you in to a place that's so much better. A river is a life source. It's a lifesaver. It's a source of supply. It gives you vitality and refreshes you. It gives you resources and provision. So we understand this, that God's not just talking about roads and rivers. God is talking about what roads and rivers represents when he's talking about the new thing. What God is saying is, I have new access for you. I have new possibilities for you. I have new opportunities for you. God is saying, hey, I got some new resources for you. I got some new strength for you. Come on, I got some new provision for you. And that's how you'll know I'm doing a new thing. So get ready. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I'm going to do something interesting today because I feel like I'm on assignment. I feel like God was speaking to me to go back and read through this text just a bit. So I want to draw our attention back to our opening text that we just read, because it's important to understand the text in the context. And we can do great damage a lot of times by just pulling verses out of their context. And when you understand the text in the context, the things that God was declaring and talking about, it gives you a broader view or an understanding of what God is speaking about. So if we'll go get the context, it's going to help us, in other words, what it means when God says, I'm doing a new thing. You see, when God speaks these words, I'm doing a new thing through the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking to actually a people in the setting of Isaiah there. He's speaking to a people who are actually in bondage and captivity. We would know this as the Bible students would know this as the Babylonian captivity. You see, in 587 BC, let me give some history here. God's people were attacked by the Babylonian Empire, and their city was plundered and burned, leaving Jerusalem, their homeland, in complete ruins. And it was in this brutal attack that happened that many Jewish people were taken away and exiled back there in Babylon. I guess nothing really changes for the nation of Israel. Every other nation trying to wipe them off of the planet. This has been going on for years and years and years, and that's the reason why God has commanded the church to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So what's happening today in the nation of Israel was happening way back years ago. So God is speaking to, catch this, he's speaking to a people who are suffering and experiencing great hardship in their life. They are separated from their homeland, and now they need God to deliver them. And it's in this context, it's in this setting that God speaks to his people through the prophet Isaiah, declaring to them that he's going to deliver them and bring them back to their homeland, which literally took place 70 years after they were taken captive. So what I want to do is just back up a few verses so that we can gain the broader context of a greater understanding concerning God's promise, which was, hey, I'm doing a new thing. Now, the Bible wasn't just written for them. They're dead. They're gone. The Bible was written for you. What applies to them also applies to you. The Bible is God speaking to you. So when God says, I'm doing a new thing for them, God is boldly proclaiming that I'm doing a new thing for you. I'm getting ready to do something better than what you've ever experienced in your life. So when he declared these words to the Babylonian exiles that I'm doing a new thing, here's what the context was. Notice, we'll back up to verse 14, Isaiah 43, and what we're going to do is find some truths about new things as we read through just a few verses today. Isaiah 43, look at verse 14 through verse 15. Notice what God says here. He says, I, the Lord, will rescue you. Remember, they are in captivity. I will rescue you. I am Israel's holy God, and this is my promise. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon. Hello, they're in Babylon. I am the Lord, your holy God, Israel's creator and king. I am God all by myself. I am the creator. And this new thing that I'm declaring over you is declaring that I'm going to rescue you. When God talks about a new thing in your life, understand the very first thing he's talking about is he's going to rescue you out of your trouble. Does anybody need rescuing today? Come on, rescuing out of sickness and disease and out of poverty and lack and bad attitudes and issues in the family. So God tells these people that he's going to do a new thing. He's telling them, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rescue you. So God says, the first thing I'm going to do is I want you to know that I'm creator. I'm your God. I'm for you. I'm not against you. And I'm going to rescue you. But notice then the very next thing that he begins to do is that he begins to remind them about what he had already done before. Notice verse 16. He says, long ago, the Lord made a road through the sea and a path through the swirling waters. Long ago. So God is reminding them here how he parted the Red Sea for their forefathers. Now he's already told, I'm going to do roads in your life too. But God takes them back and reminds them that this is not the first time that he's ever put a road in the wilderness. So God is reminding them here how he parted the Red Sea for their forefathers. And God is now telling these Jewish exiles that he's going to do a new thing in their lives too. And he does it by referring to the old thing, a previous thing that he had done 700 years before this moment. 700 years. God is telling them in their captivity, in their bondage, where they need to be rescued. God is telling them, I have done this road thing before. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear this. God has done this road thing before. Come on, he's made a way where there seems to be no way, over and over and over. He's done the river thing before. Come on, when you didn't have enough to get there, God is a master provider where he shows up and brings provision for his people. So God says, hey, I'm creator, I am God, and I'm going to rescue you, but I need you to remember, I've done this road thing, and I've done this river thing. I did it with your forefathers. God is saying, I've done it all before. Now, for them, this would have just been wonderful because they grew up. They were familiar with the story of how God delivered the people out of slavery, how they'd been in Egypt's bondage for 400 years, and how God raises up Moses to lead them out in a great exodus out of the severe bondage and slavery. This generation that God's promising a new thing had heard the stories of their forefathers, how they were chased all the way to the edge of the Red Sea by Pharaoh's armies, being surrounded and trapped and closed in on every side in this wilderness where the Bible says there was no way out. This generation that's in captivity here, when they heard these words from God, that God was promising a new thing, they would have known how God showed up in that impossible situation and made a road through the Red Sea, made a way where there seemed to be no way. They would have remembered how God raised Moses up, and Moses stood at the edge of the seashore there and raised his staff over the water and declared to all the people, you know it, stand still and see the salvation or the rescue or the deliverance of the Lord. And then they would have known, because they read it, they were reminded, they grew up studying it. They would have remembered how God sent a mighty wind, and that wind would cause that water of the Red Sea to pile up there on the right side and on the west side, the left side, and how some 2 million plus people stepped down into that bed of that sea and walked across that dry bed for deliverance in their life. Can you imagine? This moment, God's reminding them of this great exodus, and he's reminding them how he walled up the waters and dried the seabed so that they could walk across on dry ground. Can you imagine that over millions of people, 2 million plus people, stepping down into that dry seabed with walls of water on both sides of them? What in the world would that have been? That's something new. They had never seen that before. That was God doing something new in their life that happened years and years before this Babylonian captivity. This was a road in the wilderness. This was a road for God's people into freedom, giving them access and new opportunities and new possibilities. So when God is about to do a new thing in their lives, notice what he does. He reminds them about the old thing. He encourages them to build their faith, to raise their expectation about the new things that God is getting ready to do for them too in their captivity. God is telling them, hey guys, I'm not a novice at this. I've done this before. I've made roads in the wilderness. I think the question for us today is, what's surrounding you? What are you up against in your life? What is closing in on you? What is causing you to feel trapped in your life? I'm here to tell somebody today, God's got some new roads. God's got some new rivers for you this year. Roads of freedom, roads of access, roads of opportunities, and roads of possibility. God is saying to a people that are in bondage, the people that need help, God is saying, hey, I'm going to rescue you, and I want you to know that I've done this before. I know how to put a road in the wilderness. And then the very next verse, he goes on into verse 17. Notice what God says here. He, God, led a mighty army to destruction, an army of chariots and horses. Down they fell, never to rise, snuffed out like the flame of a lamp. Wow. So God says to a people that need deliverance. Anybody need deliverance here? God says to a people that need help. Does anybody need help here? God is saying the new thing is all about a rescue thing. Then God is saying the new thing involves God dealing with the same old things, because that's what he's getting ready to do here. He, God, led a mighty army to destruction. So God is saying, I'm about rescuing you, but I'm also about dealing with something that's old in your life. Now before I get there, I think I want to do this. Notice that God led a mighty army. Put that verse back on there, and you guys can leave verses up on the screen as long as possible. He, God, notice this. He, God, led a mighty army to destruction. Notice that Pharaoh didn't lead this army. Notice the Bible says that God led this army, right? God is saying, I did this. Pharaoh didn't send this army. I sent this army after you. How many of you know sometimes, just a side note here, sometimes God will use your enemies to advance you. God will allow stuff to happen, not to hurt you, but to advance you and to push you to something better that you can't even see. So what God is doing is he's saying, hey, guys, I know you're comfortable in Egypt, but I got a promised land for you, and 430 years is long. Hello, somebody. Is long enough. So God sometimes will use your enemies to advance you or to push you out of your comfort zone. Am I talking to anybody here today? Now, this is just a side note. This isn't the main message, but this might be the part you need. We don't like that, do we? We like to blame everything on the devil, but maybe God's involved, right? We don't like this because we like the American gospel. We like the Christian life that has no problems to it, right? No challenges, no hardship. We want the flight without turbulence, right? Right? And that's the reason why, you know, the moment something happens, we as believers fall apart and we start thinking God's not good. The Bible didn't promise you a flight without turbulence. In fact, he says there's going to be many things. There's going to be struggles and trouble in this world. But what God did promise you is that through every one of them, you would succeed, that you would conquer, that you would overcome. And what we need to understand, because this caught my attention, he, God, led a mighty army. So God's involved in doing this. It isn't Pharaoh doing it, right? Why is God doing this? Because God sees the bigger picture. And sometimes he will let things fall apart, huh, to push you to the better that he has planned for you, right? So sometimes he'll let that abusive relationship fall apart because you wouldn't have left it on your own, right? Sometimes he'll let that business fall apart because you're struggling still to resurrect it, and he'll let your life just fall apart so he can show you something better. Am I talking to anybody? So show you something better that he has for you. So God did this. He says, I put them in a divine, you need to hear this. I put them in a divine jam, but I did it so that you could see my glory, so that you could see my power. I did it, listen, so that I could deal with your enemies once and for all. The reason why God is involved in this is because God wants to deal with something that has been harassing them and keeping them from the things that God had for them. So God, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:17, He, God, led a mighty army to destruction, an army of chariots and horses. Down they fell, never to rise, snuffed out like the flame of a lamp. So in verse 16, what is God doing here? God is reminding them how He parted the Red Sea for their forefathers. But here in verse 17, God reminds them that He also destroyed Pharaoh's army in that same Red Sea. Oh, remember this. You got to hear this. Remember, the Bible says as God's people are coming out of the Red Sea, the Bible says Pharaoh's armies are coming into the Red Sea. And the Bible says that God begins to trouble the army of the Egyptians by causing their chariots to start breaking apart. They start falling apart. Once God gets the last Israelite out of that sea, the Bible says then God allowed the waters to cave back in on their enemies, destroying them once and for all. They were buried. That Egyptian army was buried at the bottom of that Red Sea. The road that gave them deliverance was the same road that defeated what had been troubling them for year after year after year. What is the new thing all about? God is getting ready to deal with some old things that have been harassing you and tormenting you. The new thing's about God's rescuing you, but the new thing is also about God dealing with what's been harassing you. The Bible says that He buried the Egyptian armies, the bottom of that sea. In fact, if you was to go online, I'm going to show you a few pics just to prove that divers have discovered at the bottom of the seashore chariots and debris and chariot wheels. In fact, I think I have three or four of them. If you could just show some of those pictures. This is what they've discovered at the bottom of the Red Sea, a chariot wheel. It looks like a chariot wheel to me. Let's show the next one. It's just littered debris all over. Another chariot wheel there. This is at the bottom. You go get your diving gear. Go look at it. There's evidence that God wants to trouble your trouble, that God wants to deal with what's been harassing you. Go ahead and show the next one. It looks like some chariot wheels to me, somebody, right? This is at the bottom. God is leaving a witness of what He did many, many years. He says, I am the God. I will rescue you. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. Listen, if God has done this before, He's ready to do it again. Look at this chariot at the bottom of the Red Sea. Just the whole ocean bottom is just littered with debris of a testimony and a witness of what God did for His people. Now don't miss this. Probably the most important part. In fact, we may not get any further than this point right here. That same road that gave them freedom is the same road that God used to destroy their enemies. Why is this new thing so important for us as a community? Why is this new thing so important for you as an individual, for your home and your family? If God is declaring a new thing over your life, what God is also declaring is, I am ready to rescue you. But God is also declaring to you that I'm getting ready to deal with the very thing that has been harassing you over and over. Does anybody need some God help? You're tired of being harassed. You're tired of being surrounded. You're tired of being a slave. When God declares a new thing, God is saying, I've got something better for you. You need to know I'm getting ready to rescue you. Don't resist the new thing, because it is the God who rescues you in the new thing. But not only that, the road that He gets you out is the same road that He'll destroy what has been tormenting your life. We're coming out. I said, we're coming out. I said, we're coming out. We're coming out of that poverty. We're coming out of that lack. We're coming out of that discouragement. Why? It's a new thing. And the way out, the road that takes us out, is the same road that's getting that stuff off your life. Come on, some stuff's getting ready to be buried. Stuff's getting ready to be buried. It's on that same road. It's on that same road. So important. This is the most important part for celebration this weekend that I know that was part of the assignment. Tell the people that the new thing is about me rescuing them. The new thing is about me defeating what's been tormenting them. That if they'll embrace the new thing, if they'll yield to the new thing, if they'll believe in the new thing, he said, I'll make their life better. And how I'm going to do it is I'm going to rescue them. And then I'm going to deal with what's been tormenting them. What if this could be the last Sunday you ever had the migraine headache? Well, what if this would be the last Sunday that your marriage would ever be in that shape? What if this would be the Sunday that your struggle financially would be over once and for all? Because when Moses raised his rod over that Red Sea, he says, watch the deliverance of the Lord. For these enemies that you see coming at us now, you'll see them no more. What if the Bible's really true? And that you would embrace a new thing, that what has been harassing you would be defeated and you would never see it again in your life. What if you never struggled again financially? What kind of life would that be? That's what God did for all these people. He said, this enemy that you've seen, this enemy that has tormented you for the last 430 years, you will see them no more. I prophesy over you today. The enemies that's been tormenting you, the enemies that have been harassing you, come on, as we embrace the new things, you will see them no more. This is the whole point of this teaching. The new things that God is doing in your life is not only bringing freedom to your life and access to your life and opportunity to your life, but it's going to stop what's been trying to stop you. Hear this today. The God who will do new things in our life also has a plan to deal with the troubling things in our life. The new thing involves the destruction of your enemies. This isn't new. God's done this over. In fact, this promise is in the Bible. Let me just show you quickly as we're looking for a place to park. And Tom, you can help me now. In Exodus 23, verse 22. Are you still with me? I still feel like I'm in my introduction, but this is the main point. God troubling your troubles is actually a Bible promise. Notice what it says in Exodus here. It says, but if you are careful to obey, follow all my instructions, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies, and I'll oppose those who oppose you. God wants to deal with your enemies. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, the Lord will defeat your enemies. When they attack you, they will attack from one direction, but they'll run from you in all directions. What if this is true? And what if this is a part of the new thing? Because when God wants to talk about the new thing in the text, the context tells us that God is all about rescuing you. And he wants to rescue you and give you a way out. He's got a road for you to deliver you. But that same road, he's preparing to bury what's been troubling you. Hallelujah. Come on, does anybody need that? Come on, those marriage troubles to be gone once and for all. Come on, those sickness problems to be gone once and for all. That depression to be gone once and for all. Those family issues to be gone once and for all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Notice, God will do what is right. He will give trouble to those who trouble you. God's always about troubling your trouble. The new thing is about a rescue thing. The new thing is about God defeating your enemies once and for all. God begins to do the new things in our life. God's promise and plan to trouble things in our life God can trouble what's been troubling you. God can defeat what's been trying to defeat you. God can destroy what's been trying to destroy you. God can stop what's been trying to stop you. Could anybody use some God help today in this area? I believe that this is the season to expect God to put an end to the trouble that's been troubling you. An end, again, to those financial struggles. An end to those addictions. An end to that depression. An end to that harassment. An end to those false accusations and those lies. An end to those relational issues. An end to those family strife. An end to all the postponed promises. What would your life be like if all the promises arrived at your doorstep like Amazon and say, hey, I'm here to deliver what God has promised. Package after package, and God is looking to deliver you from that enemy that's been postponing your breakthroughs. I'm here to tell somebody the new thing is something to embrace as a people, something to embrace as a community. Because in the new thing is deliverance from the old thing. All those old enemies and all those old harassments. Somebody's getting free of addictions today. I said somebody's getting free of addictions today. I won't have time to preach all this, but let me see if I can just at least read these verses to get us. There's only two more verses, but Isaiah 43:18. God then goes on to the very next thing, because these are all new things, principles or truths that are involved in a new thing. And then he says to the people who are in captivity, he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, or ponder the things of the past. Oh, my goodness. You ought to read the Bible. I mean, is God schizo here or what? Is God confused? He just spent a lot of time reminding us of what he did. Hundreds of years, he's telling these people in captivity, now I'm going to remind you about a road and a river. I did this years ago with your forefathers. I delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, out of slavery. He goes through it. He reminds them. And then the very next verse, and he said, and I destroyed the enemies. But then the very next verse is then God says, but I need you to forget about all that. Do not remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. Don't ponder the things of the past. God tells us to remember. He reminds. In fact, he gets involved in reminding us. And now you want us to forget what you reminded us all about. God, you've reminded us about one of the greatest events ever to take place with your people. You remind us, and now you want us to forget about it. God, what's going on? Are you confused? Am I confused? Are you feeling okay? Did you get any sleep last night? Why would God say this? Why would God say this? You know why God would say this? It's because God knows that we all have a tendency to make idols out of our past. God says, this is what I did. This is how I did it. But now I need you to forget it. We have bad habits of making gods out of the way God did it in the past. So God reminds us to remind us of his ability, but then he wants you to forget the way he did it. Wow. In other words, we think since God operated one way in the past, we all have a tendency to think, well, that's how he's going to do it in the future. Right? Bless God. That's the way he did it for them. He's going to do it for me. That's the way he did it for grandma and grandpa. Bless God. I know he's going to do it that way for me. I remember when we was in Bible school many years ago. We were just financially slammed. We had no money. And it was just one of those tight spots. Got home from school. I could see the pressure in my wife's eyes. And And when I say don't mind, we were cutting our own hair. We were on a tight budget. Made $22 a day and a family of five. And we were on a tight budget, and it was just one of those days that we ran out of money. And I'll never forget walking through the door, looking at her, knowing that the pressure, financial pressure was on. And I remember saying to her, I said, baby, we're going to find out if the Bible really is true. And then I made this statement, I'll never forget it. If he has to do it through a fish's mouth again, I believe my God will do it. Because that's what I read about. And so I thought, well, I'll go find me a fish. You know how many fish I've looked in their mouth looking for my money? Oh, because we're married to old ways, right? We make gods out of the way God used to do it. But I made that statement. I said, if he has to send it through a fish's mouth, he'll do it again. I remember walking out of that apartment, walking down the stairs, walking to the mailbox, opening the mailbox just immediately after talking to her and saying, God will do it again. Opening the mailbox, pulling out an envelope. And in that envelope was a check for $500. Cashier's check, actually. Now back then, $500. Oh, let me tell you what. That was I was dancing and I was shouting and acting like a crazy, crazy man. $500 back then, that was a whole lot of money. That was the money I needed to get out of a jam. God delivered us that day. God brought a miracle for us that day. God brought a road in our wilderness that day. But you want to know what happened the next day? The next day I went back to the mailbox again. I opened it up looking for my check, and it wasn't there. You know what I did the next day? I went to the mailbox, opened the mailbox again looking for my check. Why? Because we make gods out of the things or out of the ways that God did it before. I ended up having mailbox faith. But never again did God use the mailbox for my deliverance, right? And what happens, we make idols out of our past and we end up limiting God to the past of how he used to do it. And because of this, anything that looks different, we end up rejecting it and missing it. Some of you, this move is a struggle for you. Don't miss what God is doing. And the reason why we do this is because we think what is behind us is the best that God has for us. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Can I read the New Living Translation of this same verse? Notice what God tells these people in the Living Translation. He says, but forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. It's nothing compared. Come on, church. It's not behind you. It's ahead of you. How many of you just give me a couple more seconds? No? We're done? We're done? I guess we're done. Okay, we're done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're done. Glory to God. We'll fit some of this in next year sometime. When God's doing a new thing, God wants you to know the new thing is about a rescue thing. When God's doing a new thing, let me put a bow on this. When God's doing a new thing, he wants you to know it's about him defeating an old thing. When God is doing a new thing, listen. When God is doing a new thing, it involves forgetting some things. God says, this is what I did because I need to stir your faith. But don't handcuff me to the way I did it. Don't put a straitjacket on me and the way I did it. I just reminded you to show you that I'm still God and I can still do the signs, wonders, and miracles. But don't hold me to the mailbox because I might want to deliver it through a sparrow tomorrow. So the new thing involves a rescue thing. The new thing involves God doing away with the old thing. And the new thing involves forgetting some some things in your life, some old things, the patterns, the way God used to do it. Why? Why do I need to forget the way God used to do it? So much we could talk about there, because we come to our opening text. That's the reason why I had you stand. We're done. It comes to the opening text. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Behold, I do a new thing. A new thing. God says, I reminded you to stir your faith so that you would believe that I could do the new thing, but don't hold me to the old thing, because I'm doing a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now, present tense. It's happening when? Tomorrow? Yesterday? When's the new thing happening? It's happening what? In your family, what? In your home, what? In your finances, what? Come on, it's happening when? Everybody shout now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can feel this now. Why is God doing a new thing at celebration? Why is it a necessary ending so that we can have a necessary beginning? Why is it a new air? Because God says, I'm about to rescue you. And I'm about to do something with those things that has been harassing you and holding you captive. But I need you to forget the way I used to do it. How comfortable that padded chair is, because when you go over there, it's not padded. And there's going to be things that you don't like about it that you're going to miss. But God says, let it go. Forget about it. Because if you ever begin to get a glimpse about what I'm getting ready to do, you wouldn't weep over your padded chair. You would begin to shout over the harvest of souls that's about to be saved in this community. God says, I need to remind you, but then I need you to forget about some things, because you make gods out of the way I used to do it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing a new thing. You know, in Isaiah, earlier on in these chapters, God also talks about doing a new thing. And the very first thing he wants to talk about, he says, I need you to sing a new song. I'm tired of you singing that same old song. God likes new things. I need you to forget. Forget about the way it was. Forget about what was going on, because I need you to embrace what's going on now. Come on, church. Let's just own the idea. If what the church in America was really doing was right, we'd have revival. There's got to be something else. I said there's got to be something else. Come on. So here's where I land. Here's where, and thanks, guys, for leaving that verse up. Here's the last thing about a new thing that you need to understand. Do you not perceive it? Wow. God said, this is the only thing that's necessary. This is the only thing I need from you in the new thing. Is I need you to perceive it. What does that word perceive mean? I need you to believe it. He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth now. Do you not perceive it? The thing that's necessary from our lives in this moment is that we perceive what God is doing, that we don't resist what God is doing, but we release our faith and we believe. God is doing a new thing in my life, in my home, in my family. Come on, does anybody believe? Is there any believers in the house today? The new thing involves faith to believe. Involves faith to believe. God says, I can do it. I've done it before. Don't handcuff me to the past, because what I'm getting ready to do, you've never seen before. But I can't do it if you don't believe for it. Celebration, we're not here to stand on the sidelines and see if God will do something. It's faith that moves the hand of God. What we need more than ever before is a people that aren't giving goth hand claps. Oh, that's so good, God. Oh, we need people that are passionate about seeing revival and awakening in our community, that we move past just comfortable, that we move past just comfortable church, and we perceive or we believe or we begin to release our faith. God, I don't want to be stuck another day in my life. I embrace the new thing. Whatever you want to do, God, I believe the best is yet to come. It's hard. It's tough. Because every person in this room is dealing with different things. It's tough to believe. It's tough. We want to stand by and say, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's not how it goes for people of faith. We believe it and then we see it. We believe it and then we... Yeah, but I've got gray hair yet. Now I'm getting a little old now. Come on, can you believe for it? Will you believe for it? God says, I can do it, regardless how many gray hairs that you've had, regardless how barren you think you are, regardless how broke you think you are, regardless how sick you think you are. All I need is for somebody to believe, to perceive, to release their faith. And if I can find a people of faith, I will release the new thing. That'll be a better thing. Come on, God is about ready to blow your mind. Can I get a shout? Yes. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Yes, 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 oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship team, come. I'm done. Woo! Does anybody believe for the new thing? Does anybody need the new thing? The better thing? Come on. The thing that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Not another day in bondage. Not another day in that harassment. Not another day in that lack. Man, if you don't get anything else, please get the idea that the same road that God is getting ready give you a way out into the new things is the same road that is getting ready to deal with your enemies once and for all. What would that life look like? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Close your eyes. Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.